City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Oh yeah, that's just a clue. This is the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 129. I'm Peter Maverick.
Oh, and I'm Amy Matheny, and podcast that will go down in the annals, and I did not say anal, of history. Oh, my God.
I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. Like, I remember you said the name, and I was like, this is not, I was like, this is... Is this related to that president? Is this, is she? No.
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 I teased about this last week and then haven't mentioned it since because we wanted this to be a big whomping surprise. But it is true. It has happened in the history of my thousands and thousands and thousands of interviews. Mm-hmm. I have finally interviewed my childhood idol, which is Linda Carter.
Yay,
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
And it's just, I mean, did you watch Wonder Woman as a child?
I only caught it in reruns, so I didn't catch any of the first runs, right? Because I didn't start... Well, when did it start?
You were a baby. 1974.
Okay, I was not alive.
Okay. So, I think it was 1974.
I caught...
74, 75, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I must have been 3 or 4 the first time I saw Wonder Woman, which would have been 80 or 81. So okay. I caught almost everything
in reruns.
But the good thing was, at that time, when they were playing reruns, they weren't just dilly-dallying. They were like start to finish, start to finish, start to finish. So, my favorite character, I think, was the ant woman, the woman who controlled the big cylinder of ants. She like put the ants down. She was like the queen of the ants. She put the ants down and she would make this horrible face.
What was her name?
And then the ants would like do her bidding. She was one of my favorite ones because I loved ants at the time.
You
I was so
ants?
Into creatures and critters outside. And I was like, I want to be the ant woman. And, you know, and she wore these white dresses and had, of course, the nerdy glasses and then she'd fling up. So she was really gorgeous. And she looked a lot like Linda Carter, actually.
Yep.
They looked very similar in that.
The ant woman. I can't remember if she was in season 1 or season 2 or season 3.
But you know vaguely who I'm talking about.
I know who
about,
you're
right?
talking about.
She could control the ants. And then, so I remember going outside, taking a white sheet and wrapping it around myself because I wanted to be the ant woman in the dress.
Look at you.
Honey, I was a little faggot from the get go.
You were. I don't know what I was, but I was in love with Linda Carter, and my brother was too. We adored Wonder Woman so much, and I guess I was watching it in real time. I would have been very, very, very young if it was 74, 75, but I just remember it so distinctly, and you know, it came out a number of years ago, finally on DVD, which was so exciting, but you know, we used to play Wonder Woman. we had made our own out of tin foil, I mean, because we didn't have anything gold. Mm-hmm. We'd made our own, like, bracelets.
Oh, the gauntlets.
And we had gold rope that we'd made ourselves a lasso. And we just would sing the theme song. and as I look back on it now, besides the fact that she was the most beautiful brunette, to me, Jacqueline Smith and Linda Carter, my brother and I just debated like which one was more beautiful. But we loved Wonder Woman's powers. We loved the invisible plane. I did not get to ask Linda this, but we always, as children, we wondered how she found her invisible plane. We couldn't understand. And there's that funny comedian, what is his name? Eddie Griffin.
Yeah.
Who he does that thing like where he's like, and if she was in an invisible plane and she's flying up there, right. You got a hoe in go-go boots right. Squatting up in the air, flying through the air. My brother reminded me of that because, of course, my brother, I emailed him to tell him that I was going to be interviewing Linda Carter. And he literally told me that it would probably he thought it was second to Jesus Christ, me interviewing Jesus Christ. Like he was like, who are you interviewing next? He was so excited. So he, you know, called me and gave me all these questions and it was really delightful. She's terrifying. Had a very big, big life. And,
yeah.
And it's interesting because I wonder if as gay people, you know, the whole transformation, the kind of the fabulous costumes, but she was somebody who had this secret, you know, she had this hidden identity, which I think as gay people, possibly we understand. And mm-hmm. yet at the same time, she wanted to, you know, as the song says, change them, their minds and change,
and
the,
change
world.
The world.
Well, you're a wonder woman, you
well,
know?
It also was to me, it was like the beginning of very baby drag because this woman was just an ordinary woman. And yeah. then she put on this fabulous outfit and yeah. all of a sudden she was, you know, omnipotent and omnipresent and had it all going on.
When it was really the first woman superhero. I mean,
but when was the bionic woman? Because I knew.
But she wasn't a superhero. I mean, she couldn't. I mean, she was more than human, the bionic woman, but mm-hmm. she didn't have a lasso.
She wasn't
that made
fighting
people,
for good the way. That,
right. She yeah. didn't have things that made people tell the truth, and she wasn't an Amazon from some other world. You know, she was a man-made machine,
right.
which made the bionic woman very different. I loved Lindsay Wagner, too. I thought she was super yeah. cool, but there was something so fantastical about Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she was right on par with Batman for me at the time,
yeah.
because I remember, of course, I saw these naturally in reruns, and I know you did the live-action Batmans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those were way before
with
both
Adam
of our
West.
Times. Yeah, Adam West.
You know, and the interesting thing, your daddy complex starts coming out, the Harrison Ford and Adam West.
Well, but not,
you
know, Adam West now.
But. You know what's interesting, though, is that, and we talk about this, is that, or maybe I read this, I don't think actually we did talk about this, but Linda actually was smart and got a piece of Wonder Woman, whereas Adam West did not get a piece of Batman. And so you have somebody like Adam West who really got screwed. This is when things really start changing for television. You know, that'll never happen again. The Friends kids are all rich from being on Friends. Mm-hmm. And Linda was...
They got their points early on.
They got their points and really were very smart about it. And she was also very smart about it. And what's interesting is that we talk not only about Wonder Woman, but we talk about her political activism. Talk about change their minds, change the world. She is a diehard, and you'll hear her high on her soapbox, Democrat, really evoking and challenging everyone to make a change, have a voice in the upcoming election. And we also talk about her battle with alcoholism and her recovery process, which I think is something that members of the GLBT community can really relate to. Either they've struggled with it themselves or they have a friend or a loved one who has. So it's a very exciting day. And she happens to be coming to Chicago for a concert, which is why we're having her here. But she's releasing a CD. So even if you don't live in Chicago, you'll be able to keep the Wonder Woman alive in your life.
She's just so warm and fuzzy. She always, I have such good warm and fuzzy memories about thinking about her. And Formicida, or however you say it, that was the ant lady.
Oh, that was the ant lady.
Because she was working in like some biological
I remember that
thing. And that's why she had the
I
white
think it
on.
It was
because
the
she
modern
was
days, though. I think it was the modern day episodes.
Season three.
Oh, yeah, modern season day. Three. Because, you know, the first season was during the war and it was all about the Nazis and it was like a period piece. And then the next season they changed it. And the next seasons, it was always present tense for them at that time. Now it would be obviously a period piece. But, you know, there were so many great people on that show because Cloris Leachman played her mom for a while. And then they changed the mothers. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, the woman from the Addams Family, Carolyn, I can't remember her name.
Oh, she
really
just
beautiful.
Passed away.
Yeah. And then Deborah Winger appeared as Drusilla, who was Wonder Girl.
Wonder Girl. Mm-hmm.
And I remember that because she was always eating the ice cream. She loved to be in America and eat the ice cream.
Didn't she go back to like wherever they were all from?
Yeah.
And then that
they were from Paradise Island.
Yeah,
that where was, the Amazons live. It's
I didn't
all
like
women.
Those episodes.
Oh, see, I did.
Because it was all women.
I loved them. Those were my favorite episodes when they did all the Olympic trials and.
No, that was Lesbos right there.
Yeah, that was Lesbos, as I learned in our last Lesbos. Queercast. If you don't know Lesbos. What I'm talking about, go to the last Queercast and download it because we were talking about Greece. Mm-hmm. Hey, I have to tell you before we go in, it really is going to be a very Wonder Woman show. So if you have Wonder Woman friends or fans, tell them to download this one. Mm-hmm. But I saw the most amazing play, and this will only be pertinent to people in Chicago, though I can totally see this thing going to New York and going to Broadway. And I will tell people, run, don't walk. You don't have but a couple more weeks to go. But the new play at Steppenwolf called August, Osage County.
Oh, my parents went.
Which is this enormous family epic of a family in Oklahoma. There are, I don't know, 8-10 Steppenwolf ensemble members in the play. It's truly taking Steppenwolf back to what they used to do so brilliantly, which was fantastic ensemble acting and an American or American slash Gothic kind of perspective. Written by Tracy Letts, who got a lot of attention with Bug, which was made into a film with Ashley Judd and performed off Broadway. I have to say, this is one of the best plays I've seen in my history in Chicago. It is 3.5 hours long, and it feels like it's an hour. It is riveting. There are some riveting performances in it. It is funny. It is moving. It is touching. It is fragile. And people were on their feet afterward. And I just hats off, Steppenwolf. I mean, just keep, I know it's easy to say keep doing that, but wow. And Tracy Letts, what a masterpiece you have written for the canon of your work. It's really an amazing show. And so I really encourage people, it's 8 nights a week. So find a time for 3.5 hours to go and absolutely be captivated by this family. I can't speak enough about it. And I can't speak enough about the amount of awards I think it will win.
Mm. Isn't it amazing that we live in Chicago that season. Has these things?
It is, you know, and it's truly amazing. But I think that Steppenwolf has really struggled to redefine themselves and yet keep the definition of what their origin was and what was the Steppenwolf aesthetic and Steppenwolf voice that people want, and let that age and let that, you know, this is truly in the vein and yet it's contemporary of what they did with Grapes of Wrath, of what they did of showing us America and a slice of family and a slice of everyday life and its tragedy and its you know, its tension and it's just, and its perversity and its humor. And I just I really feel like they have done something with this play that I haven't seen them do in a number of years. Granted, I have not seen everything that they've done on the stage, but there's just been a little bit of disillusionment sometimes with getting, they've done some great theater, but it's not really the Steppenwolf theater. You know, it's not really that Steppenwolf experience and gesture and voice and tone. And this really is. So, and it's just great theater. It's just great, great theater.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I've heard just over time different interviews with them that it's sort of elusive what that definition of Steppenwolf is.
Yeah.
But to the critics, they're it's very concrete. But to the Steppenwolf people, they don't know. Not that they don't know what it is, but it's more of a tangential way that they arrive there, as opposed to this being a formula saying, okay, you do this, you talk about these kind of subject things, you do it in this way.
And I think
it's just interesting to hear it go back and forth.
Well, and I think
ways.
That there is room for them to talk about, you know, to be a premier company in Chicago that will present a Martin McDonagh play, that will present a new, fresh voice like a Sarah Rule, which they're going to do this year, which Goodman did last year and is going to do again this year as well. I definitely think they are a wonderful home and a nurturing home to nurture new voices. What is compelling about this is it takes them back to Balm and Gilead, which was really the play that put them on the map, takes them back to Grapes of Wrath, which is what won them such national acclaim. And even to an extent, True West, which is only a 2-character play, the other two being huge casts. I mean, this is a cast of 15 or something like that, 14, 15, 16. But these large ensemble pieces set in some sort of Midwestern Americana is kind of the thing that put them on the map, that made them so unique. And it is just extraordinary. It is just extraordinary. So, I mean, I don't have more words than to repeat that, but I encourage you to go out and delight in a night of theater that you will go by so quick for one of the longest plays I've, you know, sat in the theater and witnessed since Angels in America, I guess. I haven't seen a play that's been 3.5 hours in a long time. That's not a musical. Well, even musicals, I don't know, have been 3.5 hours. It's a full 3.5 hours to intermission.
Light in the Piazza was pretty damn long.
Virginia Woolf was long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it sure was.
And it has, you know what?
But it was good.
What is great about it is it has echoes of Virginia Woolf. You've got a mother, and you've got the matriarch and the patriarch of the family. You know, he's an alcoholic. She's a drug addict in this Plains town. And their three daughters, played by Amy Morton, Marianne Mayberry, and Sally Murphy, all three company members. And, you know, and they're significant others, and you know, it's just this it's so powerful and yet so simple. It evokes Long Day's Journey Into Night, it evokes Virginia Woolf, so many great plays. You could go, ah, he's being influenced by this, ah, he's being influenced by that. And that's what's so lovely, is that he's taking all those influences and showing what is just universal. And why those stories have lived on and lived on and lived on.
Why they keep moving. My parents aren't big theater going folk. They don't speak theater. They really don't. And they happened upon a pair of tickets someone gave them to my parents. So they went not really knowing what they were getting themselves into. And it was so interesting to hear them come to the other side of the play. The day after my mother called me, she said it was wonderful. It was long, but it was engaging, but it was wonderful. And she couldn't really speak what was going on. And then just over the last couple of weeks, as she's been reading reviews and her impressions have kind of solidified, because truly, I think to comment on stuff, if you don't speak the language, it takes you a couple of days to process what you just saw.
It's taken me a couple of days. I haven't spoken about it for a couple of days.
You kind of have to put it to the side and then it comes back. But to hear her talk about it now, she's like, that was really a good show I saw.
Because
it stuck with her.
Well, that's the thing. Play will rattle around in you.
It will bounce.
And even my language is not formed for it, except to say time is running out to see it. It's running through the end of August, so you know, make your reservations. But it is a beautiful experience, and you know, just on every level.
Go to the matinee and then go to Uncle Julio's afterwards.
There you go. That's always fun. That's always fun. So that's my tip of the week for you, is to get your butts over to Steppenwolf, and if you can come to Chicago, do it. It's worth a trip if you're a big theater goer, or pray that it will go to New York. I really could see it doing that.
Yay. And in a completely unrelated note, but I just have to share this with you.
Please do.
I whipped out my ice cream maker.
Your ice cream maker, because there's only so much more of summer left.
There
too.
Is, and I was staring at all these lemons, and I was like, they are going to go bad. So I made some of the most delicious lemon sorbet.
Off
the cuff. I mean, it's really.
Now, is it still like a lot of hard work to make ice cream? Making ice cream when I was a kid in the huge. We had a brown barrel and it had a silver cylinder. I haven't made ice cream as an adult ever, and a silver cylinder that went in the middle, and there's ice. And the salt,
rock salt, and everything. No.
You had to pump, you know, we'd make like peach ice cream. No. And okay, how do you make yours?
No, basically you just put everything in a pot and make sure the sugar dissolves and then pour it in the machine and flip the switch. So there's a canister that sits in the freezer and it gets ice cold.
Okay.
So basically you just put the canister in the whoosie what's it and it spins around the dasher for you. So you just flip the switch in about 25 minutes.
And you have recipes so you know what to put in them?
Well, yeah, that's easy for me. And you know, off the cuff, it's easy to do it, but... I like to cook. You know, I like to cook.
I know
cook,
you
so
do, but making ice cream is not cooking, so I wouldn't know what to put in the pot.
Well, do you know how to make custard? Not so much.
I don't like custard. My grandmother makes custard. She makes really good custard.
Right, but if you use less eggs, then when you make it into ice cream, it gets all soft and delicious, and it's that milk fat and the egg fat in your mouth that taste all good.
Just all fat.
Yeah, but the sorbet is just sugar, so there you go. It's just sugar and lemons, that's all.
Mm.
It's really good. You'll have to have some. But to me, that means it's so hot that if it's this hot, I'm making ice cream. That's how I know it's really hot.
You know it's hot.
Because I was like, it's so hot.
You need Italian ice or some sorbet or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. And the next recipe I'm working on, check this out, sangria sorbet.
Sangria sorbet.
Do you like the sangria?
I love the sangria. Sorbet.
But enough food.
That could be your own... concoction.
It is. You heard it here first. I did it.
Better trademark that shit.
It's
quick.
Me. Quick. I have to do it. So on the show today, on the news today, that's what I was about to say. On the show today, we have news. Lots of queer news from around the nation. And then Miss Thang, you get down with Miss Thang.
Me and Miss Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. You're a wonder, Wonder Woman, in your satin tights, fighting for our rights. All the GLBT mm-hmm. rights.
Everywhere.
She's fighting for them. So stay tuned. We'll be with Wonder Woman after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round.
Practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser.
Oh!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skate.
Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In Florida, Oscar Mosqueda, 34 years old, who was wearing a miniskirt and high-heeled shoes, was fatally shot by Cesar Villazano, 18 years old, following an argument between the two. Both were in a restaurant called Pasta Amore when Mosqueda allegedly came on to Villazano, who said he was embarrassed about the advance because he is not gay.
UPS will extend health insurance benefits to the civil union partners of its gay employees. The state's governor, John Corzine, even sent the company a letter asking it to change its position so that gay couples could also use the policy.
A coalition of 16 national GLBT organizations is asking the City Commission of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to publicly condemn Mayor Jim Nagle for recent anti-gay comments. The coalition's letters say that Nagle agreed with the statement that, quote, homosexuality is a criminal act.
The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation has criticized Colorado Fox News radio host Scott James for equating the LGBT community with child molesters. James, on the radio station KCOL, said on his show Ride Home with the James Gang, do they just want everybody to be politically correct and be tolerant and get along? You must accept me in my homosexual and or perverted child molestation ways. You must accept it.
In Tennessee, lesbian Miranda Greer told a local publication, The Jackson Sun, that an unidentified man battered her with a beer bottle at a nightclub after she told him her sexual orientation. Although the alleged attack occurred July 15th, Greer was not really concerned until she temporarily lost sight in her left eye. She soon will be examined for possible brain damage.
A Mexican prison has allowed the first same-sex conjugal visit in the country's history. The prison system's decision resulted from a complaint that a man filed with the Rights Commission after being denied a visit from his partner. The commission ruled that a denial for a conjugal visit was discriminatory.
In Jersey City, New Jersey, a new GLBT community center has opened. Hudson Pride Connections, the Northern New Jersey chapter of GLSEN, and the organizers of the city's annual parade and the organizers of the city's annual Pride Festival will all occupy the building with an official opening on October 25th.
Tommy Tester, the minister of Gospel Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia, was charged in Tennessee with driving under the influence and indecent exposure. Tester had on a skirt when he was arrested after reportedly urinating in front of children. In addition, police said that Tester offered to perform oral sex on the officers at the crime scene. Wow, that's just a bad mess right there.
He was high. The Quebec Human Rights and Youth Rights Commission recently ruled that Theo Wouters and Roger Tybalt, a gay couple, must be paid $10,000 by a parent of one of four youths who harassed the couple. The couple contended that they were harassed because of their sexual orientation.
Jake Shears, lead singer of Scissor Sisters, has revealed that he was constantly tormented at his Arizona high school. Shears, who came out when he was 15, described the school's reaction as horrible. I was dressing really crazy, wearing plaid skirts and leather, and I would get spat on and pushed around. Did he sing in falsetto too at that time?
tight plaid skirts. During the True Colors tour, Britney Spears was supposed to perform at the LA Stop, but was reportedly yanked by Cyndi Lauper. Lauper allegedly declined having Spears perform because the Oops, I Did It Again singer wanted to lip sync, which is a no-no. As far as Lauper was concerned, I was hoping it was because of panties, missing panties.
She would probably not care about that.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
I love listening to the Windy City Queercast. It makes me release my eggs. It can happen.
As children, my brother and I both were obsessed with Wonder Woman. We were so thrilled to watch her win the Olympic trials, fly in her invisible plane, struggle with the awkwardness we understood of Diana Prince, and spin in that famous circle to become Wonder Woman. We had our own gold lasso. We made our own bullet refracting bracelets. As I said, it was true devotion. Linda Carter, a former Miss World USA, hit celebrity status as the most popular female superhero of all time, Wonder Woman, and the role earned her millions of fans. Her work as a spokesmodel, activist, and singer continue to define her. She comes to Chicago September 11th through 16th at the Apollo Theater for her critically praised cabaret, An Intimate Evening with Linda Carter, and we hope everyone will show up. And also, you're going to look toward the fall because I've interviewed over 5,000 people in 10 years, and I've never been so excited in all of my career. It is Linda Carter. Hey, Linda, how are you?
Of Chicago, I have I had my first most wonderful pizza before it was a national franchise at Uno's, and also ate at Douay's, which very few people know about.
Yeah.
And listened to my first great jazz all in the Windy City.
Wow. So you've got some roots here and some influences here. Well, let's talk
And you know what? The first really, really expensive store I ever shopped in was Marshall Field's because I was making some money. I was on the road singing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we don't...
It's okay. I've become such a good shopper by this point.
I've been quoted as saying, if you ever had a gay and lesbian following, you would know you had made it. And I have to say, lady, obviously...
Isn't that funny?
Obviously, you have made it big time. I mean, I don't know any lesbian or gay man who is not obsessed with Linda Carter and Wonder Woman. Why do you think Wonder Woman has such a large and loyal gay following?
It's the loyalty. You know, I think that's what really gets me. And that's really where I was coming from, because the person I looked up to the most with her career was Bette Midler, and she really started in the bathhouses and stuff all over New York, and so I thought, oh my God, if I could just have a tiny bit of the personality and the way that she communicates. So that's kind of where I comfortably be. I tried to lend that some honesty to the role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people respond to.
Do you think it was also that kind of... Yeah, that also that secret identity.
Yeah, it's the secret self.
Yeah.
That you value, that you can't tell anyone, particularly in your young life. You know, when you know that you're different. Every kid of any sexual orientation feels like they don't belong. Everyone does.
Right.
But that is something when you're just starting to learn about where your sexual, or what that's about, to, you know, have a a big giant left turn.
Right.
Is, you know, it coming to grips with all that is that secret self, I think. I think
yeah.
it is.
And it's also the fabulous ensemble. We loved your clothes.
The ensemble might have a little to do with it too, but I also think it is her goodness.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I think part of it is her goodness. I think she, you know, that she is got loyalty.
Well, and she lived on an island of Amazon, so with all women. I mean, it was called paradise, and I think lesbians can relate to that.
You know, never put that together. Can you believe it?
Well, I'm glad I've helped you put that together now.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. We're always still learning, aren't we?
Yeah.
So what was the hardest thing about filming the show that when you look back on it?
I loved it. I really loved it. I loved working.
Were the stunts hard? Did you do a lot of your own stunts?
No, it was the most fun. That was the most fun. The hardest thing were just the hours that you had to put in.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. It's just the, you know, just the hours.
Yeah.
So,
and did you have a favorite episode or a favorite moment you remembered filming?
No, they all kind of blend together. There were some people that I liked. There was one about a leprechaun I really liked.
Yes.
There was one with Ed Begley that I really liked.
Yes.
But I don't, you know, I haven't seen any of them in years, so.
Right.
And
so many famous and talented.
For me, I do move on.
Yes.
You know, I've had a family, and it's not to diminish Wonder Woman in any way at all. It's just that I really, people ask me, oh, tell me some funny things, and I could tell you funny things that happened last week.
Yeah. One question, this came from my brother, and that was actually her idea when you went from Diana Prince to...
Great things. It is a collaboration.
Yes.
And we were filming the pilot episode, and I was standing there with the director, and they had some contraption...
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to turn me like a lazy Susan kind of thing. It was supposed
yes.
to turn me around, you know?
Like they're frosting
and
a cake.
I said, well, why don't I just spin? Why don't I just do a thing? Why don't I, you know, well, maybe we should flash instead. Maybe there's all, I said, well, why don't I just like turn around? Well, you could do that. I said, yeah. And so they said, oh, this is great. that's how that happened.
And it became such a signature. Now, over the years, there has been, obviously, incessant talk about a movie. And I know you've been asked this before, but I'm going to ask you again. Do you have someone that you would like to see play Wonder Woman or also Steve Trevor that you think would make a good duo of that energy?
A good duo of that. Now, most people, I don't think I've ever been asked about Steve Trevor.
Yeah. Once it's an important part, right?
Hey, for another one. Yeah.
Hey.
It's great.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime interview, Linda.
I still,
I'm pulling out all the stops.
I really don't have... I think she needs to be an unknown.
Mm.
I think she needs to be not necessarily inexperienced, but... unknown without a lot of star baggage.
Okay.
I think that what her dynamic is as she presents herself on a big screen is that's the biggest thing, I think, of importance is that, once again, that honesty and goodness and vulnerability and likability. All the rest of it kind of comes with the territory, and
right.
that's all done cinematically.
Yeah,
and I think that people got to know Wonder Woman in many ways through Diana Prince.
Yes,
and so that's really who you have to cast is, and it's not this big mousy thing. It's a strong, capable woman.
Yeah.
That, you know, I just couldn't do them. They tried to put me in the mousy Diana Prince, and I just would have none of it.
Yeah. Can you think of a leading man for Steve Trevor, or do you think he should also be equally unknown?
You know what? I would really have to give it some thought.
And has anyone talked to you? Rumor that it is finally now made.
No, I actually have not heard that. I think it has to get made.
Yeah.
I think it will get made. I think that they have waited for the right things in order, and I
right.
think it will happen. It's just that everything has to work together, and it doesn't work if there's a lot of infighting or resistance or whatever.
Yeah.
So
well,
I think it will come together. Eventually.
Well, it's time for with all the big blockbuster comic guys now, it's time for a gal to hit the scene. And
I just hope they do it before I die. 30 years now. Come on, guys, pull it together.
We got to get that together. So right. This is a nice segue. You are very politically active as a Democrat, as a supporter and friend of Hillary Clinton. And I want to know, is it time for a woman to save the world? Is it time for a woman to be running the show?
Well, as you know, we say we all can't be Wonder Women. And it's true. I think she has come awfully close. She is the smartest person I know. I love her. I think she is fantastic. I do understand when people say, oh, well, she's cold, or, oh, I don't know what it is about her. I just don't like her. Or now the latest is that she's too buttoned up, so she wears something that's got a scoop neck, and now she's showing cleavage. You know, they started off with getting on her about her headband, and it was her ankles, and it's like, would we be talking about Fred Thompson's kind of full midriff?
Right. Well, we are talking about John Edwards' hair, which is, you know, we may now have gone to the lowest common denominator across everything.
Anybody that talks about fluff like that, I just want to strangle them. It's not only do we need someone that really knows what they're doing, that is smart, that's smarter than everyone else. That's what we need. We need to have someone that's really smart, that has experience, has been exposed to all this, that has had 8 years in the White House. You know, they can't find anything new, so they're going to go back over the old stuff. And I think that's a big mistake. Because we are all sick of it. We don't want to hear something about, you know, 12 yeah. or 14 years ago. And so what? A lot of women have their husbands cheat on them. So
right.
what? You know, do you... It's like they're on her. They say, family values, family values. Well, she's the epitome of it. She didn't,
right.
you know, cut and run. She stayed and worked it out. And anyway, it's none of my business. And if there's some guy that's in Florida that's on McCain's thing that is caught with a prostitute, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. You know, I don't. Only if they are the holier than thou, or they're hurting children or women. They're really, you know,
yeah.
if it's pedophilia or if it's violence, that's something different.
Right.
But
how did you meet Hillary?
We met the Clintons. My husband and I met the Clintons in 1982 at the Kentucky Derby, or 1983 at the Kentucky Derby.
You've known her a long time.
Long time. And she is so dedicated. She is so focused. And I think she will be great for this country. I think.
What is her biggest hurdle, Linda?
What is her biggest hurdle is, I think, maybe just rolling with the punches she does. You know, mm-hmm. to say, hey, I know people think this and they think that of me, but, you know, they don't, that's okay. it's okay.
Right.
I'll
right.
do a great job. Just if you don't particularly like the way I wear my hair or my personality, that's okay. You don't have to. I don't have to be your best. You know, she can't say that, obviously. But what do we want? Do we want some good old boy that's screwing us over this whole country for the last 8 years who can't put two sentences together? You know, I mean, we've had that. We've had inexperience. We've had someone that is not particularly smart. I don't think we've done very well with it. And I admire right. the presidency, and I understand, and I do, I don't want to speak against President Bush because he's the president, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for the office. However, and we did vote him in, whether it was me or not, we didn't do enough to change it.
Right.
And that I'm responsible for, and you are responsible for. We can't just say it's their fault. If we didn't get every one of our friends, particularly in the gay community, I cannot understand how any person of color who is different in any way, who is gay, or a variety of things that doesn't fall into the Republican ideal, how they can possibly vote Republican. I don't understand how a black person can vote Republican. I don't understand how a gay person can. You know, but I'm not an abortionist. I'm not promoting right. abortion.
Right. Where do you think, what do you think of gay marriage being this wedge issue that continues to come up? It came
it's
up,
ridiculous.
Obviously. Where do you stand on gay marriage?
I think that anyone that wants to get married in front of God, the judicial system, their friends and family, to commit to one another, I think it makes a difference in the relationship. And
yeah.
I think any person wants to get married for the very same reasons that the next person does. Mm-hmm. I got married because I wanted to solidify this and commit for the rest of my life to this marriage, to this man, to have children, to have a family, to have someone that I walk through life with. And it is no different than a gay man or a gay woman. There's no difference not to have children. There are people who choose not to have children or who cannot have children for a variety of reasons. It is no different. That's
we need
the way
Wonder
I
Woman.
Feel.
That's the way Wonder Woman feels. That's Linda Carter speaking at you, preaching at you. Go, girl. I love it.
Oh, I know. So, I told you I was going to get on my high horse. Oh, my God.
I love it.
And I am so pro. Give her a chance. Those of you out there that are people judge you, you just want to be judged by the fiber of the human being you are. This is the yeah. hardest working woman I have ever known, and she's so smart. There's no one that is smarter in this world than Hillary Clinton that are smart enough to, you know, to take in all the information.
Right. I want to talk about addiction, which is a very prevalent in the gay and lesbian community. And you bravely came out about your struggle with alcohol. What was the wake up call for you, Linda, around your alcoholism?
My MO or my drinking pattern
mm-hmm.
was I've accomplished a lot in my life, so you know, you think that it's willpower, and so I just wouldn't drink. I didn't drink for 3 years or 2 years or because I could stop anytime. So then I would drink for the same reason anybody else would drink. But
right.
the disease kind of goes on without you, and those periods of time became closer and closer together. He couldn't string any time. And I had a long talk with my husband, and I promised. I really felt like I was, that I didn't know what was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was some really internal flaw of tragedy.
Was there a lot of shame?
You know, oh my gosh, shame. There's so much shame because you don't remember stuff that you did or said, or it's just ugly. And you spend all your time trying to keep the truth from everyone. Mm-hmm. I did a really good job of that. And my husband and I talked about it. And I was ready to just throw it all away, throw what I thought at the time was just throwing it all away, my career, everything, because everyone, I knew people would find out. And what happened instead, I walked through the doors of, drove onto the grounds of Father Martin's Ashley in Maryland, and it's right on the Chesapeake Bay. It's beautiful. And I really felt like I had come home. People...
Hmm.
It's not just about not drinking. It's a really so much more about understanding the disease itself, what happens in your body, why it is that you... I mean, I feel like I drank against my will.
Right.
It was against my will. I could not. So I had to figure it out, which I did.
Well, and a lot of people talk about, you know, in 10 years.
Well, that's almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, because so many people, I think, in the gay and lesbian community are trying to fill something that feels, I mean, there's a social aspect, which is in every community, but there is so much internal pain, possibly with identity and trying to fill or anesthetize that void. So is there any hope that you can offer in recovery for people who might be listening to this and struggling with addiction in their life or in the life of a loved one?
You can't do it alone. There's no chance. You have no chance if you try to do it by yourself. You need help. And you just have to be willing to listen, you know, if you had a terminal disease that all you had to do to keep it under control and not die is to talk and listen,
mm-hmm.
That's the truth. It's just about, you know, going to meetings and being around other people who walk the walk and talk the talk and understand, and there are millions of us out there, and there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, the only thing is you've got to take that step to, you know, we all beg God, please God, take this from me. God, take this from me. And yet it's right there. And we're just...
Show that you're getting ready to do. I know people are going to be so excited. You produced and performed in 5 Emmy-winning variety TV shows. You just finished playing Mama Morton in the West End production of Chicago. Now you're out with this new cabaret show. What can people expect from your show? What are the influences that have impacted Linda Carter and your musical life that people are going to see in this show?
Well, when I decided to sing again, I went downstairs where I keep all my music, and I was, you know, going through what I thought I might want to sing, and I got a big pile together. And the truth was, it spans such a variety of tastes in music. So what I've come up with is really just the things that right now this year I want to sing. Now, it may change next year, but right now these are some of the songs I'd never sung before. Some of them I had sung maybe once on a special, and then others I had done in my previous show. But it's sort of a wide... It's more about communicating. It's more about sharing an experience for an hour and 15 minutes with a group of people. It's mm-hmm. like you get to go play and talk and sing and kind of be together for an hour and 15 minutes, which is really kind of the way I approach I'm kind of going to, it's like a bunch of people in my living room sitting around jamming or something, you know.
Who are some of those singers and songwriters that really speak to you or are speaking to you and have continued
well,
to?
Well, it's certainly a lot of the old ones, but I sing a lot of blues and jazz. So I like, I do this Charlie Parker solo that words were put to by Lambert Hendrix from Ross. And then I sing something by Patsy Cline, and then I'll, that Willie Nelson wrote. And then there's kind of an obscure song here and there. It's just, as I said, it's kind of eclectic, and it's more of an, I think, it's a great thing. I love it. I think it's so much fun to be.
So you just got out of you just got out of the studio recording your new CD this past month. Tell me about that CD. Is this something you've always wanted to do?
Well, I've actually done a few other ones, but I have not for 20 years. So I just wanted to put what my show is, put that a lot of that music on.
Can I just ask you one more question? If today you could have one of Wonder Woman's powers, what would it be? The strength, the lasso of truth, the invisible plane?
There's no question. It's the lasso of truth. I live in Washington, D.C.,
I love it.
Boy, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing, and I want you to have that. We're going to have to figure out how to make that happen. That would be a good idea. We'll write that together. Wonder Woman episodes are available on Columbia House Home Video. You can look for her new CD coming out this fall. And the Cabaret, an intimate evening with Linda Carter, is at Chicago's Apollo Theater, September 11th through 16th. For tickets, call 773-935-6100, or you can purchase them through Ticketmaster. Linda Carter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.